This is Breakfast with Melinda James
on 97.3 ABC Illawarra.
It's 14 minutes past seven. Well, if anything has shown up the power and the unreliability of online reviews when it comes to actually assessing a product or a place, it's this story that came out just before Christmas about the London restaurant that made it to number one on TripAdvisor, all based on fake reviews. The restaurant itself was also fake. It was a plan cooked up by journalist Uber Butler, who basically turned his London backyard into a fake restaurant and then published the story on Vice Online.
For 7 months, Vice reporter Uber Butler tricked TripAdvisor.
It's like you blink and you're in the Groucho, you know what I mean?
Can you believe that you managed to get to number one?
You became the number one restaurant in London.
That made me see TripAdvisor as like a false reality that everyone took completely seriously. Over the years, I just thought the only bit of TripAdvisor that is unfakeable is a restaurant itself. And one day I thought, oh, maybe it is actually fakeable.
And that's exactly what he did. He actually faked the restaurant too. It's quite an extraordinary story. I'd recommend getting on and looking at it. It does really reveal how easy it is to fake these things. And what do we do about it as consumers? Can you spot a fake or not? I spoke to senior lecturer in consumer psychology at the UTS Business School, Dr. Adrian Camilleri. And I first started off by asking him whether he was shocked by this story about the number one restaurant in London on TripAdvisor actually being a fake.
I was definitely surprised. It's a novel idea to begin with. You'd have to be pretty creative to think you could do it. And I was more surprised to learn that he actually could do it. You would think that there are systems in place to stop this, but as I think the TripAdvisor administration said later on, they have systems in place to prevent fake reviews, but there don't seem to be systems in place to prevent fake restaurants.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, there are sort of two things at play here, aren't there? There's the notion of a fake review, and then there's kind of this notion of groupthink, where all these people want to go to a place that doesn't even actually exist, and yet they insist that it's the must-go place, the place where they must be seen.
Yeah, I guess it's a sign of the culture where some restaurants are withholding information to kind of look a little bit cool or distinguish themselves from other restaurants. And in this example, it was the extreme version of that. So you really couldn't find any information out about this particular restaurant. And that obviously caused a bit of a buzz.
And look, one of the kind of interesting things about this story as well is that Uber Butler is a, I guess, sometimes struggling journalist, and he used to actually make a buck from writing, being paid to write fake reviews for various businesses. Is this actually a thing? Do people get paid to do this?
Yeah, so it's becoming a thing, unfortunately. So more and more these days, people are relying on these online reviews to make their purchase decisions. So there are different surveys that you can look up the results of, and they come out saying 70 to 80% of people, they actually do look for information about online reviews before purchasing, and most of them trust what they read when they go onto these websites. And you can understand why, because these reviews presumably are not coming from the seller, they're not coming from experts. They're coming from people like you and me, and why shouldn't they be trusted? The problem is, of course, that they can be manipulated. And again, if you look at the research, there's estimates that range from 5 to 15% of online reviews are being manipulated in some way. And that may be a business posting favorable reviews for their own business or product, or it could be posting negative reviews about their competitors. So I read one paper recently. It said 16% of restaurant reviews on the website Yelp, they're actually suspicious or coded as fake under their system there. So these suspicious reviews have definitely increased over time.
Do you know much about these different kind of algorithms or systems that are being developed that are trying to determine if reviews are fake or not? I know there's fakespot.com where you can put a review in and it will tell you whether they think it's fake or not. And in a double-barreled question, how good are we humans at detecting whether a review is fake or not?
Yeah, so in recent years, detecting fake reviews has attracted a lot of attention, both from businesses and research communities. And there are a couple of things to note here. So firstly, humans, just individual consumers like you and me, we're quite bad at detecting fake reviews.
Is it because we do things like, oh, there's a little spelling mistake, that must be a person?
Yeah, it's difficult to detect because you don't get any feedback on whether you're actually coding a review accurately or not. So I can tell you some things to look for that have been detected by looking at reviews known to be fake.
Mm.
So deceptive reviews, they tend to be longer than average. They tend to use more exclamation points than average, and they tend to contain details that are unrelated to the product, such as mentioning the reviewer's family. So these are sort of signals, but again, it's very difficult as an individual to actually detect. So what I do suggest is using technology that already exists, and you've already mentioned one, FakeSpot. Another one that I know of is called ReviewMeta. And basically, these websites ask you to enter a URL linking the website to the product or restaurant that you're looking at, and they use sophisticated statistical models that try to detect whether the average review score that you're seeing is actually accurate or not. And it does so by looking at factors such as the distribution of reviews and looking up the individual reviewers to see whether they have a history of looking at reviews or not. So that process is actually a lot more in-depth than what any individual consumer can
do. It actually builds a profile of the user, of the person who's doing the commenting.
Right.
Okay. Oh, such a world we live in these days, Adrian. How are we meant to know what's real and what's not?
That's true. It's difficult. I mean, if I'm making a recommendation to listeners about what to look for when searching through review scores, you're probably going to be looking for, obviously, a high average user rating, but you want to see many reviews. And the larger the number, the better, because you can therefore put a little bit more faith into the average review that you're seeing. And you're also trying to look for not a lot of variance. And by variance, I mean you want to see the reviews clustering around the high scores, whether it's a 4 or a 5, as opposed to being spread out. Of course, you want to also complement these online review scores with other sources of information, such as Consumer Reports or Choice or CNET, where you actually do get expert reviews. And I think trying to combine those two different sources of information can minimize the risk.
And I guess just finally on the flip side, it's not just frustrating for us who are trying to find a product or a hotel or a restaurant and trust the reviews that we read. It's also if you are a business owner and more, even the smallest of small businesses need some sort of presence on Facebook or online, people should remember that misleading or false reviews are actually unlawful behavior. If you're paying someone an incentive to put up a review, or if you're encouraging your family and friends without them disclosing that that's who they are, you can get into a bit of trouble, can't you?
Yeah, definitely it's illegal. Hard to prove, I guess, but illegal. I guess for listeners, one way that they can contribute in their small way is to actually post genuine reviews themselves. You know, most people, you know, have a good experience, and that's the end of it. And one way that they can contribute to the problem, I guess, is to leave a genuine review themselves.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just keep wading through this murky world that we've created for ourselves online, and who knows if things will ever get any clearer. But in the meantime, Adrian, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
That's Dr. Adrian Camilleri, a senior lecturer in consumer psychology at the UTS Business School. What do you think? We read online reviews a little differently from now on. Here's Shepherd with Geronimo, then we'll talk sport on this Friday.
Can you feel it?